on them, the rap on them was always that they were ponderously slow. You could time them. You could time them out of the hole with a stopwatch, or I mean, with a sundial. Didn't need a stopwatch. But they cured that by hanging a turbocharger on them, and you know, boom, there it is, and you're done, and boom. I mean, that little Jeep Liberty that I test drove with my dad.
Yeah.
You asked that thing for power and it went. But aesthetically and with consumers, it went nowhere. So
there I go back to, you know, if you think that petrol is the only way to get performance, explain to me how it is that the Tesla Roadster can go 0 to 60 miles an hour in 3.9 seconds.
Right.
It's just like, hello, facts are there.
And yeah, and I can get a Tesla for less money than I would spend on my one of my beloved Porsches. And it make it, but good luck, you know. You're up against the oil companies. You're up against the what are now, but you know, the American auto industry put the buggy whip business out of business. Now the American auto industry is being in the process of being of struggling against being put out of business by an auto industry that is not locked into all the tired old crap that the auto industry is locked into, or so we would think in America, John, because it turns out they're not. They're selling this stuff like hotcakes in the rest of the world. We just don't get it. So that leaves me, oil company. Yeah, what else am I supposed to think?
There's nothing else that you can think. And you know, this is where I also have issues with the hydrogen concept, because that's just another thing of trying to keep people stuck to someone's, you know, pump. And then you also have to factor in the fact that there's not enough titanium in the world to be mined to actually make them viable in to the wider community and make them cheap enough. Now, if they get around that problem and are able to do, you know, hydrogen fuel cells without the titanium, then maybe they got something going.
Yeah, because that stuff, the way you get titanium does not come from a nice place. John, we've eaten up 2 minutes of your program. I'm so sorry, brother.
Oh, okay, well, let's go. We got more Aussie music coming.
Okay, yeah, cool. I've got it all loaded up. Thanks, John. This was fun.
All right, man. Thanks, you. Thank you.
It's catching, isn't it? See you on the other side. And so, here's the late, great Lowell George, reminding you to...
What we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
and the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show right here on the Horn. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn the conversation to conservation. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and CityNet, citynet.net. B1 Louder by ringing 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366. Or use your free minutes by dialing direct 304-658-5453. Yeah. Host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
All right, everybody, welcome aboard Foxed Up here for a Tuesday night or a Wednesday. Is that where we at? Yeah, Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, Wednesday afternoon, all depending on where you are on this beautiful blue marble. Now, it's no longer April Fool's Day here, but in the States, it's still kind of April Fool's Day. But today's show is Fossil Fool's Day. Thanks to some great stuff that Nanette sent to me earlier, and we're going to get to that in a little bit. But, of course, first we have to hit today's track of the day. And continuing on with the greats of Aussie rock theme that I've been going on for about the past week or so, I may have played this track once before sometime in the long, 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 long time ago. It's a track from the Skyhooks. A great Australian band, very, very funny, kind of the Australian larrikin kind of vibe. And you'll probably remember, played on this show many times as a bumper, a track called Horror Movie. Well, that's not what we're going to play today. I'm going to play a track today called What Happened to the Revolution. And this is from the same album, Living in the 70s. Which I've also played the track Living in the 70s, which is rather funny. And, you know, this track being from the 70s kind of looks back at what happened to the rebellious generations of the 60s. And, you know, I hope that, you know, 10 years from now, we're not going to look back at the activism that we've been partaking in over the last decade or so in the same light. But only time will tell. This is just a great track. Really, really kind of, they've got a bit of a, I hate to say goofy sound, but there's something comical even to the sound of the band. And just that they were a really great band. And the singer, unfortunately, passed away a few years ago in a helicopter accident, of all things. And I know I've worked with the guitar player, Mr. Red Simons, on a production of the Rocky Horror Show a few years ago. And Red's a really, really funny guy, very smart mathematician. He's also a radio host down in Melbourne. Known has this kind of persona of being the grumpy guy, but he's really not. You get right down to it, he's one of the nicest men you'll ever meet. Very intelligent, very smart. May not have been the most stellar guitar player in the world, but boy, he came up with some, you know, memorable stuff. So without further ado, the Skyhooks from Living in the 70s, What Happened to the Revolution. Roll it, Bob.
Don't got shoulders, rip it away. Whatever happened. Makes your butt getting colder. We're looking for something that just ain't there. I don't mean nothing to have no care. So when you're ready to make a stand, open your mouth and raise your hands. When you're sick of your party, sick of your sweet, get off your ass and I'll see you out of the street.
The Skyhooks. Ah, great band, great fun. And I do love that line, kind of reminding everyone, you know, it's post-Vietnam and all that, you know, so, you know, get off your ass and I'll see you out on the street. I think we need to remember some of that. I still keep wondering why we haven't seen, you know, the masses out in the street, you know, Bear Stearns, all this kind of stuff. You know, just madness. Just madness. But anyway, thank you, Red. Thank you, boys. Now, getting on to, thank you, Nanette, for sending me this stuff. This is just too funny. We've got some April Fool stuff for today, and this is just great. From itsgettinghotinhere.org. Fossil Fools Award Ceremony in Charleston, West Virginia. Lunchtime, as usual, was interrupted in the Capitol building of West Virginia today when a spontaneous Fossil Fools Award ceremony began. The ceremony was held to celebrate West Virginia Governor Joe Manchin and coal baron Don Blankenship, receiving the prestigious award of Lifetime Achievement in Fossil Foolery in Appalachia. Unfortunately, neither Manchin nor Blankenship were available to collect their awards in person, but news cameras from several local TV stations were there as stand-ins, accepted the awards in their honor. Unfortunately, Manchin and Blankenship were beat out by Bush and Cheney for the International Fossil Fuels Lifetime Achievement Award because of their hard work. However, we decided to award them a special Appalachian Fossil Fuels Award. Our own boys can certainly brag that they've done more than their share for a small state when it comes to advancing the cause of enhancing the profits of big coal at the expense of our economy, our mountains, and our future. If you go to today's show blog, there's a link to some photos from the event. I think it's great. Activists showed up with an eight foot high model of wind turbines and a functional mobile solar panel to show alternatives to fossil fuel use, advocating for a clean, just energy transition away from the toxic coal industry that has crushed West Virginia's economy. Several thousand green jobs in wind turbine and solar panel manufacturing are just across from the West Virginia border in Pennsylvania and Maryland. Governor Manchin's insistence on being a fossil fool has not allowed industry like this to employ West Virginia workers. And these people are supposed to be pro-business. I guess it's only pro certain types of business, eh? They call him Don Blankcheck, Blankenship, has spent $5 million getting his coal cronies into the West Virginia Supreme Courts and state legislature, or at least trying to, as in the last election. 39 of the 40 candidates he funded lost. Blankenship's company, Massey, has a history of union busting, safety violations, and violating water pollution standards more than 4,500 times over 6 years. Massey was recently subject to a $2.4 billion fine for said water violations, but only had to pay $20 million of that. Oh, we can't hurt him now, can we? Massey's subsidiary in Martin County, Kentucky, was responsible for the biggest environmental disaster in the history of the Southeast, when 250 million gallons of toxic sludge were released. Luckily, Blankenship and his friends in high places has friends in high places, as he was recently documented vacationing in Monaco with West Virginia Supreme Court Justice Spike Maynard. And I hear that there's actually some movement on that. Governor Baloney Joe Manchin is trying to line up support for 5 coal to liquids plants in the state. Each one of these experimental facilities will cost a couple of billion dollars. To be heavily subsidized by taxpayers in the poorest state in the United States, of course, Manchin strip-mined his own family land to fuel a gob plant there. Combine this with his refusal to help build a safe new school at Marsh Fork Elementary, which is within 300 feet of a coal processing plant and that at the foot of a 2.8 billion gallon toxic coal waste dam. And you see that Baloney Joe is truly a fossil fuel to the highest order. Fossil fuel festivities continued with a less than successful attempt to drop our West Virginia foolie by Manchin's office, but no fear. Climate activists interested in working together on stopping this tomfoolery are invited to a local coffee shop, Taylor Brooks, Wednesday, April 3rd at 5:30 for the movie Everything's Cool. For more information, see, and there's links. This is brilliant, 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 brilliant activism. This is the kind of stuff that I like to see. And I'm glad that the media was there to cover it. And, you know, these are the things that we got to do. It's a long fight. Now, on the line of this whole April Fool's thing, Gene sent me a very interesting post from our good friends at ecogeek.org. Spot the not a prank. And there's a poll. One of these stories is true. Which is it? And here's the list. New unnaturally carbonated beverage sequesters carbon in your belly. Number 2. U.S. official warns of armed U.S.-Canadian conflict over 400 billion barrel Arctic oil reserve. 3. New Unibatadium LEED certification for greenest possible building practices. 4. New rainbow capturing solar panels are 7 times more efficient than traditional panels. The next one, colony of flying penguins discovered. Then there's hybrid Air Force One is 20% more efficient than its predecessor. Then there is the ever-popular Al Gore running for president. Wind-powered airplane design developed. Which do you think is the true story? I actually got it right, and I was kind of surprised. And they kind of go through them. And this is posted by Hank Green. And he says, I've been clawing my way through the blogosphere today, realizing that many of the things I write on a daily basis are far-fetched, but also true. So on a day when the world is filled with lies, it's hard to identify the legitimate news. So here are 8 green stories that I found today on the intertubes that have no references. Figure out which one you think is true, and then hit the jump to find out if you're right. Obviously, this is, you know, an interweb thing. So he says, okay, I have some bad news. Rainbow chasing meteorologists, a lie. Al Gore running for president, April Fools. Unibatadium LEED certification, unfortunately not. Unilateral carbonated beverage, no. Though it's worth noting that Coca-Cola does get its CO2 from the petroleum refining industry. Hybrid Air Force One, nope. Wind-powered airplane, uh-huh. Flying penguins, no. But this video that they linked, it was pretty convincing. Indeed, the true news of the day is bad news, and it is also extremely ironic. Burning lots of oil has melted the Arctic sea ice enough that vast new areas of potential oil exploration have been unleashed. These areas are currently not under control of any nation, and so a mad scramble to claim the oil exploration rights has begun. The potential for oil in the region is upwards of 400 billion barrels, more than twice what Saudi Arabia has to offer. Yep, that's right. We burned all our oil just so that we could screw up the climate enough to open up what could be the world's largest oil field. Canada, the United States, and Russia are already fighting over the oil field, leading former U.S. Coast Guard commander to openly worry about the possibility of an actual armed conflict over the oil field. And that's no joke. I wouldn't have believed it if the article weren't published last week. Now, I'm going to follow the link about these oil fields. Scary stuff, eh? A U.S.-based company that has controversially laid claim to nearly all of the Arctic Ocean's undersea oil said Thursday that new geological data suggests a potentially vast petroleum resource of 400 billion barrels. This is from Canada.com. That figure is backed by a respected Canadian researcher who recently signed on as the firm's chief scientific advisor. Las Vegas-based Arctic Oil and Gas has raised eyebrows around the world with its roll-of-the-dice bid to lock up exclusive rights to extract oil and gas from rapidly melting areas of the central Arctic Ocean, currently beyond the territorial control of Canada, Russia, and other polar nations. The company, which counts retired British Columbian Senator Edwin Lawson among its directors, has filed a claim with the United Nations to act as the sole development agent of Arctic seabed oil and gas. The firm acknowledges that the Arctic's petroleum deposits are the common heritage of mankind, but has argued that the polar region requires a private lead manager to organize a multinational consortium of oil companies to extract undersea resources responsibly and equitably. Oh, yeah, I believe that last bit. You know, it should be for the world, but a private entity needs to own and control it, because, as you know, the private sector does everything best. Horse hockey. The Canadian government has dismissed the company's alleged claim over Arctic oil as having no force in law, but experts in polar issues have raised alarms about the firm's actions, saying they could disrupt efforts to create an orderly regime for exploring resources and protecting the Arctic environment under international law rather than a marketplace model. There you go, Bob. Your market's thing. This is scary stuff. We could actually go to war with bloody Canada over more oil to burn, which is one of our major problems now. But we got to go to the phones because we got David from Maine on the line. How you going, David? Welcome to the program.
Good evening, John.
How are you, mate?
I have two stories here that I think you'll find a bit interesting. The first story, it has to deal with different forms of energy, and there's something phenomenal going on that the media isn't covering, that they should be covering. It's regarding a boat called the Suntory Mermaid 2. It's a wave-powered boat, and it's going from Hawaii to Japan. You can go on the, I'll post a link on it, but you can go to the Suntory Mermaid site, and you can read the diary. And you can also track the log of the boat. It's completely wave-powered, and they want to prove to the world that this thing can go for 3 months to its destination without any other alternative power.
I heard something about this a while back, but didn't see much information out there. This is very interesting.
Well, the guy who is taking the challenge is 69 years old, and his name is Kenichi Hori, and he has a really cool site where you can check the navigation of the boat, and you can also see the charts of where he's progressing. So every day you can check in and see where the boat's headed and what he's done for the day.
That's wild.
I know, it's really cool, and they're getting a lot of press, I guess, over it, or a lot of publicity in the boating community world. You know how niches are like. They'll never exceed over the amount that people to a mainstream appeal with the kind of audience that we have now, especially with the fact that we have American Idol and let's face it, sensationalism is our new can now be labeled as science. If you think about it, I mean, when people say, "That's amazing." You know, when you start to talk about Paris Hilton's hair bands, you know, that's when you have to check yourself and go, this is damaging everything, especially the people who are doing stuff.
I just found a story about this at The Age. And
well,
they say
if
here,
you go to www.suntory-mermaid2, that's number 2.com, you can go to the site and you can check the progress. Just go to the English site and you'll be all set. But it's great. Well, I've been looking at it, and this guy to me is a real revolutionary, because he's going alone in this boat for 3 months just on wave power.
Give me that URL again.
I'm also going to post it on the forum. My name's Think It Ain't Illegal Yet. For those who don't know, that's the George Clinton quote. But anyways, www.suntory-mermaid2, that's number 2, mermaid2.com.
I'm just getting it up here. I want to see this. This is...
Oh, it's great. Bob has to see it, too. I mean, when you guys look at this boat and the everything that they put on there just for people to look at, you get an inside glimpse of this guy's journey, and he posts a diary every day on this boat.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Oh, I know. It's a great thing to do. You know what would be cool? If you could somehow do an interview with this guy, if he has online technology. Could you use Skype?
I would think he'd have even a satellite phone.
Right. Well,
you know,
I just thought I'd share that story, and I hope people check it out. And because it's also really revolutionary what's happening right now in regarding water technology, and this is they're on a mission. This company, I love the name, Suntory Mermaid. I have no idea what Suntory means, but I know what a mermaid is. Now the second story I have is a heartbreaker.
Okay.
Second story is a heartbreaker. We all know today in music world, Shawn LaVert died. Now Shawn LaVert is the son of Gerald LaVert. There's a son of Eddie LaVert, excuse me. Eddie LaVert is a member of the OJs. This is his second son that he's lost. His second son that he's lost to in within 3 years. So this is kind of a tragedy, and Shawn LaVert and Gerald LaVert were both great vocalists. But here is the twist. Shawn LaVert has been acting strangely at the Cuyahoga County Jail before he died. Warden Kevin McDowell said in a news release, LaVert was at the jail for 5 days, living among the general population there. He then displayed bizarre behavior and was put in the observation cell Sunday night. He began shouting and pounding on the cell door, so guards put him in a restraint chair without resistance and for his own protection. LaVert's wrists were strapped to the chair and his feet were shackled to the floor. About 20 minutes later, he appeared distressed and was taken to the hospital when he was pronounced dead. And there's more. We've just learned that the LaVert family have asked the Federal Bureau of Investigation to investigate the death of Shawn as a possible homicide. Now, Shawn LaVert was in jail because he did not pay child support. But the very fact that if this is true, I know that he's passed on, but if this is true, this is just another sign of our criminal justice system, where the justice is not in criminal justice.
Well, yeah, and I mean,
yeah.
What purpose does it serve to jail someone for failure to pay child support? Doesn't that make it totally impossible
I have an easy solution. Just put him in a kid's service, for God's sake, and make him take care of kids to learn the value of family. Five to five. That would drive him absolutely crazy. He would want to pay child support after that. That's what they should do instead of... But again, John, it goes back to, it's a racket on top of a racket on top of a racket.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So forth.
We just know with the way that, incarcerated peoples are used to staff, phone banks and whatnot for companies, and they, get to pay, 2 cents an hour or whatever. And, we hear people complain about, the immigrants is taking our jobs. And it's like, no, well, okay, how about the fact that we're allowing companies to pay way below minimum wage to incarcerated people?
Yeah.
you know, for jobs that they could be paying actual, you know, non-incarcerated citizens to do at a real wage. And they get tax breaks to do this crap. So, I mean, the whole law and order system in America has become such an industry unto itself. I mean, this is the, you know, this ties into drug laws and, you know, various other things, you know.
Yeah.
Keep locking up them poor minority kids, we get lots of cheap labor. Hmm. Sounds like slavery to me.
Well, it is rather strange and eerie that not that many people want to talk about it. They just want to continue to have a grand old time with these bland, inane topics. Even, you know what, even reputable people. I mean, as I was saying on the board about, and people really need to understand this, when you have someone who's carrying a discussion on Bill Maher, and you have Ann Coulter back again and again and again, like he did, politically incorrect, and you know what? You just created your own personal Frankenstein. And after a while, John, we have to look and go to the side and say, you know, why are you reputable? Why are you credible? You know, I have, and just start reading other sources and like, why are these people on? Why are you on this show again? And that's where we have to get to a point. When we finally get to that, then we're going to start to have serious dialogue, and then we'll see what we can do with that dialogue. That's going to be the other challenge. But first, we have to have the serious dialogue taking place with the pundits of our choice or selected journalists. And we need to get rid of these media-tainment pundits who come out and who are always talking about nonsense issues and get to something that's serious, but then at the same time that will make people want to listen. And it is a challenge, and it is also an art to do that. But, again, it has to be done in this country, and that's why... And that's why, John, me and you, when we hit the streets and we start talking to people, they'll just say to us like, yeah, we'll be in a Rain Man situation. Yeah. I remember I was talking to the woman at the post office, and I was just telling her, you know, wow, I can't believe how much, food prices are going up. And she smiled at me. She goes, Yeah, and had that same. I was like, "This is insane. This is insane. This is what we've done to the sum of our entire of the majority of our people. Just to brain matter into like to use a visual. They're creating our brain matter into like Dairy Queen blizzards or something."
And not nearly as tasty.
Yeah, I know.
I run into this as well. You know, I've had these contractors in my house over the last couple of weeks putting in these new windows, and you know, you get chatting with these guys, and they're running all over the house, and you know, they're hearing the horn on while they're here, and they're like, oh, well, what is this? You know, get in, and explain the whole thing about the project, and. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, trying to get back to actually having discussions based in fact and having the discussions that we need to have. And it ends up opening up a dialogue. And the reaction that I get when I bring up something like mountaintop removal mining.
Yeah.
To people who have never heard of it. And you see the stunned look on their face, and either you get that, you know, Rain Man thing, yeah, or
yeah, that.
You get this bug-eyed look, and they say, they can do that? And I go, yes, they get away with it all the time. And it's a huge industry, and people's homes are taken.
My.
And old men who have lived on top of the mountain for years, who have refuse to move, get their trucks shot up.
Yeah.
And they're just going, huh? And I go, yeah, this happens all the time.
My favorite answer is when people go, oh, well, there's nothing you can do about it, to which is what I kind of am waiting for, like, so I don't even have to say it. I just move my hand in a motion of going forward and be like, we can discuss it? That could be a start. I mean, but that, see, this is the problem that we have in this country. And oh, no, forget that. Strike that. Not this country. This world. Because this world wants to silence discussion. And I have my thoughts on that, especially on the internet. But they want to silence discussion in a matter of, you know, just through name calling, insulting, and saying, well, what do you want? And just these, like, really, really simple comparisons, simple terms, black and white. We're going back to that. I have a friend who's a working class conservative. I have no idea what the hell that means. But I have a friend who's a working class conservative, and he tells me that the economic collapse will be a great thing for business. Now try to figure now I understand I understand the points of big business, but small business? See, this is the kind of insanity that we're teaching. But I have a theory why a lot of conservatives, especially working ones, who think this way. My theory is the fact that they really did have demeaning and strict fathers, because the stories I heard from this guy about his dad, they were unusual, the tasks that he was led to do. And I just think that that's a real big a catalyst to why we have a lot of people out there that continue to spout these talking points and are easy to just swallow and digest them without any problem.
Mm. Oh yeah, I had this exchange with my brother last weekend.
Yeah.
And I was telling him about the MTR thing, and you know, and he and I have a pretty damn good relationship still. It's about the only part of my family that I still do. And mostly because they're arch conservatives, and you know I know he's still got this kind of bug up his ass with me that I live here, right? And
right.
You know, and he says that, well, you're over there, why do you care? And
oh, man.
I wish, and I wish that I had thought the way Gail did when her response was, you know, well, why the hell don't you? Which is would have been the right response. But, you know, I went through all the factual stuff, and, you know, I said to him, I said, because I don't live in a bubble, mate.
Yeah.
I actually look at this entire planet as we are all in this thing together, and
right.
I have really good friends that are having this in their face every single day of their lives. So, like you said, we can talk about it. And this is so crucial to actually getting anywhere. You know, it goes back to the things that Bruce Birch and I used to talk about on the old Fourth Estate radio program. Getting down to having the conversations that we should be having. Not the Paris Hilton garbage, and not the, you know, the fact that, wow, there's an Australian on American Idol. Isn't that neat? You know, And actually getting to having the discussions that we need to have. And a lot of them hurt. A lot of them are painful.
Oh, I know.
And you mentioned Bill Maher. You know, you posted, or no, I'm not sure if it was you or if it was Lottie, but posted in the forum the YouTubes of
yeah, I did that.
Bill Schiff from last week.
Yeah.
And who was that African-American broadcaster guy?
Oh,
he
Travis
was amazing.
Smiley.
Tavis Smiley, he kept going back to that, whose definition of a patriot do you believe in? And him going back, the fact that, you know, a true patriot will criticize its country when it needs to be criticized, because you want your country to do the right thing, not that whatever your country does is the right thing.
Did you catch that thing where it's on the New York Times website about what McCain said about regarding condoms? They just put it, I don't know, did you see that?
No, I fear.
What is that?
I fear what came out of him regarding a condom.
If he thought that condoms is good for preventing transmitted HIV and sexual diseases. And this is what he did. He actually looked at one of his handlers and said, what do we think about that? And he's like, I'm going to have to get back to you on that one. What?
You got to be kidding me.
No. I'll put it up there. It's on the New York Times. Now, here's the thing about this thing with the New York Times and all the stories that I'm reading today. It always goes back to April Fool's. This is the worst news day ever. you really don't know. But, you know, this is McCain, so I'm like, yeah. But they did reference that it did come from March 18th. So if people want to look in, look in the index and everything, I believe he said it on March 18th. You can probably see it on Huffington Post. I'll put a link up. I like I said, I plan on linking all those stories on the forum as soon as I sign off here.
Right. The chat room's asking, you know, how did we get to Tavis Smiley? Well, he was one of the guests on Bill Maher's program just this past weekend. You can find the YouTubes on the forum. Just click on the video tag, and it'll take you right to the list of posts. And, you know, John Cusack, I knew I loved that guy, and it wasn't just for High Fidelity, one of my favorite films of all time.
Without a doubt.
What he laid out, it's more than a military-industrial complex. It's a feeding frenzy of mafia, a mafioso feeding frenzy that is now part of the government itself. And I'm very curious about this film that he's got coming out. I got to give him credit. You know, he's putting his money where his mouth is. Whether it's going to make a dime or not doesn't matter. It's about trying to at least get some people to have the discussions that we need to have.
Right.
And, you know, it just laid out that no matter how you slice it, we have become, the United States, a fascist nation. If you actually go to the definition of fascism, where you can't tell when business ends and the government begins, that is fascism. And the privatization of our military and all that, that's it. That's it.
Without a doubt, there was a story on Tom Hartman about how Jeb Bush wants to change the Constitution regarding a church merging with state. He wants that to be a reality. Now, again, to go back to April Fool's. Is it an April Fool's? I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't put it past him because, I mean, this is that George Bush the First that said, you know, many, many years ago that atheists should not be considered citizens.
Mm. You know, John, I always keep hitting the wall when it comes to discussing issues of this country with people who are in business, and I'll tell you why. They think that they're going to get the golden tree that falls out of the sky if they work hard enough. And then I say to them, this is what I say. I say, and then I don't get an answer. I say, you're going to work hard. You're going to get all of this money, but eventually you can't take it with you. You're going to die, and you're not going to have that money. And I say, so is it really worth it to just consider yourself all just an economic value? And then he was like, well, that's a tough one to answer. Yeah, it is a tough one to answer because it's reality.
when the bread's not getting to your grocery store, no matter what it costs, are you going to be able to eat that money? Especially when so much of it today is virtual money.
Oh, my God.
It's not even, you know, I mean, we've gotten to this point. And to take it in another direction, there was a thread over at the Nation States Forum today. I don't know if you've had a look at this game that some of us are playing, nationstate.net.
I've been hearing about it. You guys have intrigued me on it.
It really is fun. It's low impact, but it's an interesting exercise, and it's based on a book written by an Australian, actually, which was a parody on government. And so you create your own little nation, and you get issues to vote on. You become part of a virtual UN. Well, it's not called the UN anymore because the United Nations actually contacted the game and said you can't use the UN logo anymore. You're breaking international law.
Yeah.
So that actually tells you there are there are like a couple hundred thousand people, I think, across the world playing this game. And it's all text based, and you get issues. You can either vote on one of the choices or dismiss the issue, and then it impacts your nation in sometimes ways that you would never expect. So having to remember that it is a piss take on government to an extent, right? Now, right. There was a thread. Someone put up a thread about legalizing marijuana, right? Put a poll up. And then there's, you know, so people vote on the poll, and you know, overwhelmingly, people are saying, yeah, legalize it. And there's all and then there's the discussion that goes on. And there was this one person in there who claimed to be, you know, part of law enforcement. And, you know, I've been on the front lines of the fight kind of thing. And then starts going off in this little tirade about pot smokers then don't go and have real jobs. Like, they end up being some musician at some bar somewhere. And I mean, there were all kinds of really stupid things stated, you know, and actually equating, and I mean, you want to talk about pressing a button with me, that professional musicians don't work hard? So I had that.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I had to jump on there all the time.
You know, my answer to that is making money. If that's the case, then making money shouldn't be an occupation either.
And you know, okay, you went and got some 4 or 8 year degree in business, and you go and make a whole bunch of money, right? Fine, you do that. But I'm telling you, right now, the virtuoso musician has put more blood, sweat, tears, dedication into mastering their craft than anyone when it comes to, you know, and this equates to art, this equates to anything creative where, you know, you want to, and you know, it was all this kind of, you know, they're lazy, they're not dedicated, they're not focused. And I'm saying, and I'm sitting and thinking to myself, you are actually telling me that someone who has mastered an instrument doesn't have focus, doesn't have dedication, going into something that is very hard to actually make a living. And if they actually get to the point where they're making a living doing something that they create out of nothing and brings people some joy, and you call that not a real job, you son of a bitch.
When everything does collapse, art is going to be the one thing that keeps the world in partial harmony. And then people will, and then the hope, and then a lot of people are going to realize more and more. Maybe they won't appreciate it ever as much as we do, but they're going to realize more and more. Oh, wait a minute, it does have a value. It kept me from going insane.
You know, and it's only been in the last, you know, century or so that the arts became the business that it is. You know, throughout the centuries. You know, medieval times, musicians, artists, acrobats, you know, would travel from village to village, entertain the locals, and be fed and housed as they're making their way. And it was very communal. I mean, it, my experience busking in Germany was such a great kind of eye-opener for my consciousness of community. Because we became part of a community, and they supported us, even though we didn't go out there. We weren't selling anything in particular. We weren't selling CDs. We went out there and played, and that kept people in the market areas for a longer time, so the businesses really dug it. You know, you get that great spot right across from Nita Ecke, which is the marzipan and ice cream outfit, legendary in Germany. You know, you tried to get that slot across from there, where all the parents and the kids, you know, go get an ice cream cone, they got change, and you play, and then they stop, and they hang for a while you play. They like what you do. They throw something in your case, and it was amazing. I mean, we made a really good, solid living doing it, and it's because that sense of community somehow has not been lost in that part of the world. Doing it here in Sydney is a completely different deal. I tried it for a while, and I spent more money in broken strings than I'd make it a day, and I finally bagged it. But, you know, so it is that thing. What do you think is actually important? What do you think is actually adding to society and contributing? Well, I think, you know, someone who goes out there and busks, whatever it is that they do, and they add something to the dynamic of a community is just as valuable than someone selling T-shirts, if not more, because they're making the people stick around and look at that shirt in the window for the sixth time because they've stayed there and go, hey, you know what? I'm actually going to go and buy that.
I think economics as a religion is creating the downfall of the U.S., and not just the U.S., the entire world, of everything that it touches. When you hear more people talk about GDP than the beautiful beautiful symmetry of a snowflake or some BS that's just it's just that they pulled out of a the Wall Street Journal to make someone buy some more stocks or buy some more futures or whatever it is that we're interested in. To me, there's a bigger problem than that. When more and more people continue to just quote figures and numbers like they're really important in the scheme of things, when this is all going to go to oblivion, so you really have to find out what's really beautiful and what's really profound rather than just monetary and numbers. And I'm not talking to you, well, are you telling us to get rid of material things, or are you gonna do it? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying when you treat economics like a religion, it's so corrosive, John. I can see it all around me, and it's, oh my God, it's we're just headed for a fall. It's
it is, and one of the things that I made me just so happy in my experience when I was in Germany, in the local paper. Some right, you know, I guess not right wing, but some, you know, person who looked at the buskers as, you know, being, you know, tramps and, you know, deviants of some sort, you know, says, you know, I walk down the Fussgang, you know, in Lübeck, and I see all this money in these buskers, you know, cases, bags or whatever, and they're not paying any taxes. So they actually put up a proposal in local government. Some idiot that there had to be a vehicle for us to pay on a daily basis income tax off of the change that came through our case.
Mm.
And we just looked at each other first, you know, just logistically, it's stupid. Well, all the businesses along that row absolutely went bonkers. They said, how dare you? You're getting the tax revenue off of the sales tax that we pay by the increased business that we do because we have these entertainers here. And it was lobbying then by the local retailers that said, you know, take this, you know, this thing and just shove it right where the sun don't shine, because it's because of these people that help make this retail area that has no car traffic the place that it is. And if you start trying to get these people with to pay taxes every single day, you're actually going to hurt the overall tax income because you're going to be, you know, taking away the increased business that the retailers benefited from us. And
I was so
glad that it got shot down in flames.
I what you're saying, and I'm not going to take any more time because I don't need to wrap up. I just want to say one last thing. The new Bjork video is incredible. People, you have to see that video. It's amazing.
Oh, I love her. Does it have anything to do with Tibet?
It's called Wanderlust, and okay. It's amazing. I'm just going to give you a clue to it. It involves water and woolly mammoth, and that's all I'm going to leave you with, John. And when you see it, you're going to be like, oh my God.
Right on. I will check it out after the show. I dig Bjork. I think she's spectacular.
I agree with you. Well, John, it's been great talking to you.
Thanks, David. Always good to talk to you. Always bring something to the table to talk about, and it's excellent, man. Take care of yourself.
And for everybody, you can check those links on the general forum at Head On. I'll be posting everything that I just talked about.
Thanks, mates. Thanks for all your input. Later. Ah, David from Maine. It's never boring. It's never boring. I had another thing that I'll save for tomorrow that Betsy sent me, dealing with the border fence. We'll get to that tomorrow. Check out, if you haven't been there yet, go to the headonradionetwork.com forums. There's a link right on the front page. And, you know, get involved in the conversation. If the chat's not your style of thing, check out the forums. They've been going really well. I think it's a hit. And it's been really fun to watch the dialogue, and we've got a forum there for our nation, states, region, where we discuss things involved in the game, and we need these things. We need things like games once in a while, and games that kind of tie in and get you thinking about things outside the normal constraints, but still deal with the issues that we're dealing with every day. So. We're coming up on the end of things, I do believe, here, there, Bobby Boy. Oh, we got a couple minutes left. So check out the forums. It's great stuff. So thanks to Bob Kincaid for producing today. Thanks to Scott Barry at B1 Ladder Productions for the music. Cole River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Go and check it out. See how you can become part of the fight to stop mountaintop removal mining. And as we say here on Foxed Up, be good. Be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
And the sign said, long-haired freaky people need not apply. So I tucked my hair up under my hat, and I went in to ask him why. He said, you look like a fine, upstanding young man. I think you do. So I took off my hat. I said, imagine that. Shot on sight. So I jumped on the fence and I yelled at the house, hey, what gives you the right? Put up a fence to keep me out, or to keep Mother Nature in. If God was here, he'd tell you to your face, man, you're some kind of sinner.
Sign, sign, everywhere a sign.
Blocking out the scenery,
breaking my mind.
Do this, don't do that, can't you read? Shirt and tie to get a seat. You can't even watch, no, you can't eat.
You ain't supposed to be here. Sign said you got to have a membership card to get inside.